billion. Must be more than a billion people. So now that we're $1 trillion in debt, I have to think about that word. But Trump will solve that, I'm sure. He'll have us flourishing. I want to look at the second chapter of Luke 2, because it tells the story of Jesus and tells the story of why God sent him to earth. God, and Jesus makes this clear. He sent him to earth so that you'd have life and have it more abundantly. And that's part of his goodness. Part of his goodness is that he has done nothing for himself. Everything God has done toward us is always for our good. It's always for our good. And it's just amazing to me that many Christians don't even know the good news. They're depressed or sad or whatever. But and I know why, because the Bible is very clear about that. If your eyes are down here, you're going to be sad. There's no you can have joy. It won't last, though. It will be short, and then you die, and that's another problem that happens. And then sorrow. No, sorrow is always mixed with any kind of human joy. But if your joy is in heaven, if it's up above, it's an unseen world that we have never seen. Nobody's ever seen it. That joy, unspeakable and full of glory, that is what we're looking forward to. And so that Jesus was born to save us. He was sent to be the Savior. That's why his name is Yeshua, he who saves. But the idea is that you cannot go to heaven if you have one sin, even one, even a spot or a wrinkle or a stain or a blemish or anything. This is not the way the world is run, but it's the way heaven is run. And so for God to bring you to heaven, even though he's merciful and gracious, he has to remove all your sins. So he not only forgives your sins, faithful and just to forgive your sins, but he also has to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Otherwise, he lied. He cannot lie. So he's faithful to keep his word. And all of this not only takes place, it takes place in time. None of the promises that God has made, all of them are fulfilled in time. You will actually see your righteousness. You'll see it. Today you just believe in it, but you'll see it. And everything, even the wicked, even those wicked that are left, that are not in the lake of fire, they also will behave themselves. So you'll see the kingdom of God with the Jews on earth ruling over them. And then you'll see the Gentiles will be submitted to them, which we've never seen anything like that. The Jews have never ruled. Even when they tried to, they couldn't keep the rule going. There's always was interruption, and wicked kings would come in, and so on and so forth. So we've never seen peace on earth, goodwill toward men, ever. And that glorifies God. When he sees that, he'll be glorified. And so anything you could do on earth to help that would be appreciated only by religion. But it's not appreciated by God, because God sent his son to be our propitiation, our payment, our offering, our atonement. Whatever we owed, Jesus did it for us. He did it for us. There's nothing you can do now to please God except faith. That's the only thing you do, because you can't see it today. You will not see perfection on earth. So joy to the world, that's a promise. Joy to the world, that's a promise from God to the world, not to heaven. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart. Jesus was not looking at his birth to be not in a manger. He wanted the manger. But the room he was looking for was not a room in the inn. The room that the Father sent him was horrible, because there's no room in the inn. But he didn't want that. He wanted room in your hearts. Let every heart prepare him room. So the room that he's looking for is in your hearts. I don't need to ask, because I can look around and see most of you are believers. And if not, you'll go to hell. But if you are, then you're all right. That was a joke. We actually pray for, love, and bless everybody else. So we have a lot of praying and blessing and loving to do to get other people into heaven. And I believe we will do it, just like there'll be heaven on earth as it is in heaven. Just like it is in heaven, it'll be that way on earth. So that's not the new heaven and the earth. That follows later, after the great white throne judgment, which everyone will then be resurrected, and then they'll be judged again. But you and I will not be there. You and I will not appear there, though that judgment will be given, but we'll be up in the air. We'll be up in the heavens, the natural heavens, not highest heaven, but in the natural heavens. And we'll be the righteousness of God because of Jesus. Now, we're that by faith right now, but someday we'll see it. We'll actually see it. When he comes back, you'll see him as he is. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. It doesn't appear. You cannot see it. If you have eyes to see it, you can't. The only thing you can see is the Bible. That disappoints a lot of people, but the Bible is the only good news you have. Everything else, Jesus is in your heart. Nobody sees it. Nobody sees your heart. Nobody even sees your soul. So they only see your works, all they can see. And so the works were always tainted. They have spots and wrinkles. I mean, nothing is ready for his coming again, because even as he saved us before the foundation of the world, and then it showed up at the cross, it's now by faith. You have to do it by faith. Everything about the unseen world is in the Bible. Everything about the unseen world is in the Bible. The new heavens and the new earth are not described incredibly well, but they're there. So that's all. Then there'll be surprises when you get there. It'll be a lot better than here, for sure. It'll be a lot better, because we'll actually see first fruits. We are the first fruits of God. He's the first fruits from out of the dead, and we're the first fruits of that first fruits, because we're the new creation. So the reason God sent him is to bring joy to the world. Joy to the world. I have it. You have it. You have it. You have it, Paul. And so on and so forth. We all have it. This joy to the world, the Lord's come, because we made room in our hearts. How did you do that? By faith. You can't not do it by some other method. You can only do it by faith. So you don't see it, but you have to believe in the promise that hasn't yet been fulfilled. You have to believe that it'll be perfect. So do you believe that within time, and some of you will be old enough maybe to see it, within time, well, if you live 1,000 years, so that might be hard. So maybe I'll rephrase that. But you actually will see the kingdom of heaven with your own eyes when Jesus comes back again, and that could be in 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, 7, 20, 30. But it won't be too long. I could actually live 30 maybe years, maybe. But that's unlikely. Especially given the evidence that keeps showing up. But anyway, I believe in miracles, so yeah, you know, anything could happen. I would like to be here when he comes back and hear him say, "Well done." That was a joke. So, but he will say it. He will say it someday. But can you imagine that if you do live, that you will hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's amazing. That you actually will be feel it. You'll understand it with perfect understanding. And you will want it. You'll want that, and you'll actually experience in this world because you see him as he is. He who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. That can be right today. You can do that today. You can actually manifest Jesus today so that they glorify the Father when they see your good works. And that's in Matthew, the 5th chapter. So God wants us to celebrate this baby. Now this baby is a king, and he's soon, no one has ever seen this Jesus this way, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You'll be the king he's kings over, male or female. And we'll be the bride, male or female. So he mixes his metaphors there. He mixes some of the nouns right there. It's like, you know, if he says so, I'm the bride, and you ladies are going to be kings. But you'd be with a small K, not with a large K. And lords. When he was born, he was actually born during Caesar Augustus's time. Caesar Augustus was 58 years old when Jesus was born. He lived to be 76. So he lived into Anno Domini. He lived into that another bunch of years. Because when he was 76, when Jesus was about 18. So when he died, as Julius Caesar died, and then in a little while, Caesar Augustus was made to be the emperor. He was the first one made emperor. He had to defeat Lepidus, which was one of the tripartite emperors. They divided the empire into three parts. And he had to defeat Lepidus, which he did. And then he had to defeat Mark Antony, which he did. And he was down with Cleopatra in Egypt at the time. And so, but when he did those two things, the Senate of Rome said, "You are August." That's why his name is Augustus. "You are August." In other words, you are to be reverenced as a god. And they announced that. And so when he was then in 27 BC made a god, then he was god over Rome. And they announced that you are like a priest king. Pontifex Maximus in Latin, and imperium. In other words, for the world, he was the political leader, but he was over believers of any religion. And Pontifex Maximus, which the Pope now is. That's one of his titles, is he's Pontifex Maximus. And claiming then that that's the higher job. He hasn't noticed that ever since the Reformation, it hasn't fared so well. But anyway, he still hangs on to those titles. But he's merely a human being. He's a mortal, just like ourselves. So when Jesus comes again, he will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we'll see him as he is. And so that'll be powerful. But he was born to introduce salvation to the world. That's with his right hand. His left hand is creator. He's here creator with his left hand. Always, the whole world is under his creator hand. Everybody. But we have been repented, and we got out of that, and we're now a new creation under his right hand. So redemption is over here. It always has three parts. Savior, Lord, King. Savior save you, you're a believer, then lords lord you and you submit to the Lord voluntarily, you're his slave, you're his servant, you're his trustee, whatever. But you want to do that, and I want to do that voluntarily. But whether anyone pays me or not, I'm built that way now, that I believe everything in the Bible, that I'm a new creation, but that I should serve everybody and not worry about myself because God takes care of me. It doesn't mean I can't pray. I can petition God, and I do for all of our kids and people that we know, and also the wicked, the ungodly, because they need also to hear this good news. So I have to now recognize that only Jesus can do that. Only Jesus can do that, because he does everything for your salvation. So it's three parts, Savior, Lord, Bridegroom. And those are the three. That is your atonement. That is your offering. That is your sacrifice. But he's the perfect sacrifice. None of us are. So you can't do anything to help him. You can't cooperate with him. You can't even say, we worked together, even though there seems to be scriptures that say that. God does it all. And it has to do it, because it says, come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest. So you can enter into his rest, that's all, and celebrate that. But the fact is, you can't make yourself holy. Why? Because Jesus is your holiness. He's your righteousness. He's your whatever you need to be before God. He's paid that debt. He's paid that debt for you. So this is the good news. So I want to read in the second chapter about this kingdom that passed away. The Roman Empire is still with us, by the way, but the kingdom is no longer vigorous. It's no longer powerful. Not only ancient Rome, but also medieval Rome. And so the only Rome that's left now is the New World Order Rome. And that will be the last actor of mankind. There won't be China or India or any other place. It will all be built on the Roman. It will be the last kingdom on earth. But we're not part of that kingdom. We're no longer Jew or Gentile. You're now part of a new creation, kine katesis. And that new kingdom is why he came to create that. Actually, he was born of Mary. That's passive. But actively, he now borns us, believers. He borns us because he's the creator. Prototokos, same word. Mary prototokos him passively, but he now prototokoses all of us. We're his birth. We're his. He bore us. So prototokos means, proto means one, and tokos means creation, another creation, not like the old. It couldn't be like the old creation. So we're part of this new creation that God has made, and so you're not part of the world. My kingdom is not of this world. And that causes us to be persecuted, because they don't recognize, the world doesn't recognize the kingdom of God as anything serious. Even in America, we say Jesus and so on and so forth, but it doesn't recognize, we're a minority. And even, we might even outnumber them, but it doesn't make any difference, because who knows who's real or not real until the great white throne judgment, then God judges every heart. So I can't even say who's a Christian. It could be a billion of us, but that wouldn't make it, and they're well over a billion. But that doesn't mean anything, because we don't know how many are true, how many are real. But the kingdom of God is now among us, and it's within. It's not out. You can't see it, because the only thing you can see is this Bible. All you have is this Bible. You might want something, secure yourself something, you can't have it. That's all you have. The certainty of that Bible is all you have. And I believe, that Bible's certain, that everything it says is true. and all the supposed contradictions and so on and so forth. I've read all the books and so on. I don't believe a word of them. I believe that everything in there, and I'm not stupid. I have a lot of degrees and stuff. It doesn't help anything. You can have all the degrees in the world. It doesn't help a thing. But I believe that Bible is my book. It's my life. And so because of that, I don't really care what the world believes because I'm not scared. I'm not scared of the world. I don't care about the world. So I'm ready to die. I'm ready to, you know, pass away. It's not a big deal. Because God always took care of me. I have a different origin than everybody else. I have a different destiny. I have a different purpose in life. You can't get that from science. You can't get that from reason. You can't get that from your moral conscience. You can't get that from anything that God created you in the natural world. It has to be supernatural. It has to be something absolutely brand new that has never been before. And we're the first ones in that kingdom. Even though the Old Testament saints like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and so on and so forth, even up to John the Baptist, all part of the Old Covenant, Old Testament, except for those that have faith, and they're in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. So the faith people of the Old Testament, and they're not all named, but many of them are named, those people that have faith, they'll be same with us. Same with us. But, you know, also, so will any natural person who doesn't know anything about Moses, doesn't know anything about Jesus. A natural person, if they obey their conscience and behave themselves, in other words, it's something like this. If you do good and eschew evil, avoid evil, if you do that, God will count that. That's in Romans, the second chapter, 15th verse. Romans 2:15. So even if a natural person doesn't violate their conscience, everyone has, by the way, but even if they did, and even if they asked forgiveness, which I don't know how they do, but if they did, they'd be like Job. And God said of Job, that's a righteous guy right there. And he apparently didn't know anything about Moses. He didn't know anything about Abraham. He didn't know anything about Jesus. He didn't know anything. But he's the richest man of the East. So whoever he was probably a formidable person. And he had to be something awesome. So anyway, the Bible's full of things that you don't understand. And that's part of my job, is to explain things that are mysterious, because there shouldn't be any mystery for us Christians. There should be no mysteries. And I've trained myself to do that, because there are lots of questions that people have about the churches, because all churches are different. And so you don't know which one's going to speak the truth. But one of the way you can tell is if you're poor in spirit. How many here are poor in spirit? Or poor, it says, rejoice, because Jesus is here. And so he'll take care of that. And because of that, because Jesus said, if you even mourn, well, you can rejoice because Jesus is here. Where is he? In our heart. In our heart. The kingdom of God is within you. So the kingdom of God can't be seen with guys. Someday you can see it, but not today. A few years, yes, but not today. So there's still then 1,000 years, the millennium. Wow, that's a long time. Nobody has ever lived 1,000 years. So that'll be something weird, different. If you could make it through that 1,000-year period, it'd be awesome. So God is going to restore everything that he originally intended when he created the world. Everything he originally intended before time is up will be seen on earth as it is in heaven. You'll be seen for 1,000 years. And that's the indictment on the other 6,000 that have already passed. So the other 6,000, though they were impressive to us, they weren't impressive to God. Because anything apart from faith is sin. Anything apart from faith, reading this Bible, is sin. And so the Bible has Old and New Testament. So it goes all the way back to the beginning. That word on the back wall there is Bereshit, the very first word in the Bible. In the beginning, three words. In, that is B-E, that's in. And then Rosh is head or beginning. And then Eat on the end means the very beginning. So all that speculation about how billions of years the world is nonsense. Completely nonsense. So it's just 6,000 years old. And the reason they did it, the reason that they came up with it, is not because it's a clever idea. It's because they didn't want the Bible to be true, so they deliberately suppressed the truth. And even now, many, many scientists who, Nobel Prize winners and so on, are believing there must be a creator to this world. They've given up because all their ideas have come to nothing. Now, people still talk about it because all the money is tied up in people that believe in evolution. And that you cannot get a job, even, if you believe that God is God or something like that. It's hard. And those people are jeopardizing themselves by believing it. You'll be persecuted. You'll be hated. Because all the money is given to weirdos, people that believe something weird that you can't prove. But mathematically, mathematicians have stumbled with it, and so on and so forth. So this world is growing old, and it's almost over. None of the founding fathers, not one of them, believed the world would be more than 7,000 years. So we're already in the seventh. We're on the downhill. I mean, it's going to be soon, and it probably is going to be at the beginning of the day, which we're in now. We're only 18 in a few days, few week, in a week from now will be 2018. So we're into the 7,000th year. Some speculate, but it's pure speculation. It'd be 10 or 15 years or maybe 20, 25, something like that. But they're just guessing. I say it could be within 5 years. Within 5 years. And the only reason I say even giving an extra year is because there's a lot of sin in the church. So I think God knows that, and unless he's going to do a miraculous thing right away, he isn't ready to come back. So he's not going to come back, and, you know. And besides, there's 3.5 years just for the Antichrist and all his business and getting rid of the Jews and so on and so forth, 2/3 of them. And there'll only be left 1/3, which will be the sons of Levi, because God has always wanted Israel to be a whole tribe, all of the 12 tribes, to be Levites. That's why they didn't get any land. They live among the 12 tribes. But all of those that remain will be part of purifying the sons of Levi, Malachi 3:3, almost the last verse in the Bible. Old Testament. So let's read this. And it came to pass in those days there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Wow. Now, I'm just going to tell you something now. Without an emperor over the world, you can't tax the whole world. So that's why people have always wanted emperors, because they could tax the whole world. But never, not one of them has ever had worldwide control. They claimed it. Egypt claimed, and Assyria, and then Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome, and so on. But they didn't actually control, literally, the whole world. Never. Even the Pope. He never had all of Europe under his sway, ever. ever. Nobody has ever had this big taxing of the whole world. But neither did Caesar. Actually, Caesar didn't control the whole world. Let's say he controlled Europe. He didn't even control all of Europe. There were always pockets of resistance for him. As a matter of fact, Julius Caesar in 44 BC was assassinated because he wanted to build an empire. And he wanted to change it from a republic, like we are, to an empire. Now we're actually called a democracy because people just wanted to make money. And so the founding fathers of our country did not want a democracy. Worst form of government is democracy, which is mob rule. It's the worst, most unstable. And yet today, because people wanted to make money, within a few months, the Constitution was out. And people wanted to be a democracy where people decided what will be the laws, fooey on the Constitution. Now, again, you hear people talking all the time, oh, we're a representative democracy and so on. We were never a democracy. We're a republic of laws, not of men. We're a republic of laws, and the laws it's talking about is the natural law, it's still mutable, and then also God's law, which is immutable. You cannot change the Old Testament. You cannot change that law, nor can you change nature. If you fall off the building, I did that once, if you fall off the building, you will not live. But somehow it happens. Somehow. But I think it's a miracle. And anybody else that's fallen on their head without hands is stupid. But also it's a miracle if they survive. So I consider I must be a miraculous person. Why? Because I don't see how 70-year-old people can fall off the roof and survive. So I think that's rather special. And there's nothing wrong with my brain. Is there? I have to ask Peggy everything now. Where am I going today? what am I doing? So this taxing was amazing, but emperors have always wanted to be over the whole world, from one corner to the other. And they wanted to have a world tax, and then they would be in control of everything. So all emperors had this idea. But it's never happened. I think God deliberately had Jesus born when he was born so that he could be born in Bethlehem, because it's prophesied in the Old Testament. God kind of reads the Old Testament before he does anything in the New. He says, well, I haven't fulfilled that one yet. And so he arranges everything. How many know God's in total control? He always gets his way. He has never been thwarted or gainsaid. Can't argue with him and win. And the devil never wins. Even though you think he's winning, he never wins. So there will be no Tower of Babel finished. It's on your dollar bill. It's unfinished. It'll always stay that way. So everything that man does is impossible. So don't think the world is going to blow up in an atomic bomb or nitrogen bomb or, you know, neutron or whatever. Don't worry about all that. It's going to end just exactly the way God said in the Bible. There'll be nations. So we'll get rid of all the nations. You won't. Nobody's going to ever do that. So all the fears that even Christians have are fruitless, because God has already spoken how it's going to end. Jesus will come back after that tribulation thing, 3.5 years, 1,260 days. Then there's going to be a Armageddon right there with after he marries us up in heaven. He'll come back as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and destroy the beast, the false prophet, and Satan himself will be in a bottomless pit for 1,000 years, and then the angels which guard that, one above and one beneath, it's all in the Bible, they will then let him loose for 1,000, for after the 1,000 years, and then he'll try to get the saints, but we'll be saints, and he can't. He even comes up to heaven. He has to come up to heaven, surround the camp with all of his demon angels and so on and so forth. And then they go into the lake of fire too, because he said, huh, those people are so righteous. They're so holy. They're so, you know, nice. I can't, my power doesn't work here. How many know Satan is limited? So wicked people will never rule again as soon as Jesus comes back to judge those that have killed off the harlot. The harlot of Babylon is kind of a conspiracy that the beast and the false prophet and 10 kings decide on to kill him off, to kill off the harlot. But even after they're done, I told you, one third of them will escape. They will be in a place of refuge, and they'll be right under their noses, and they don't even know where it is. All you have to do is read the Bible. All you have to do is read the Bible. That's what Herod did when Jesus was born. Hey, now where, you kings, you three kings, doesn't say there's three, but let's say there's three. One has gold, one has incense, and one has myrrh. But hey, where's he going to be born? He said, I don't know. I'll ask the rabbis. Rabbis, where's he going to be born? Well, the Old Testament says Bethlehem. Okay. Well, what the prophets have said that, so go to Bethlehem. The minute they got outside, they saw the star. Hey, we don't need all those directions. That star is going to lead us right to Jesus. Because he had followed the star all the way from their home countries to that country. And those people then were told by God, do not return and then tell Herod what you've seen and so on, because he wants to come and worship Jesus. He doesn't want to come worship Jesus. He's going to kill him. Oh. So they went to another way. And then, boy, he was wroth. He was angry. He was mad about that. So he wanted to kill Jesus. But you can't kill Jesus. You can't kill Jesus. Why? Because he hasn't even lived. He hasn't even, you know, done his ministry. He had to do it. He had to grow up and die when he was 33 years old. He had to do all that. So he did it exactly as it's prophesied in the Old Testament. Exactly. Everything is in line. And you can read the whole Bible through and through, as I have many, 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 many times, because it's accurate. It's actually certain. And I'm building my whole life on it. I don't have eggs in another basket. I don't have some eggs here. I have no eggs left. I've eaten all my eggs. Suzanne, do we have any more eggs? We used to get eggs. Do we still get eggs from you? Thank God. They're good ones. They're better than ones on TV. God knows how to arrange everything for his purposes. So the world is being taxed, and that makes it dark. This dark world is going to perish. Heaven and earth will pass away, but what? But my word will never pass away. So we're the word people. We're the people of the word. Just like the Jewish people should be, two-thirds of them will be destroyed, but one-third of them will be God's people. But that's by his grace. That's because they were promised by God 2,000 years earlier. And he said, Abraham asked God, God, what about the Jewish people? You know, having a son and all that kind of thing. No. They'll be part of it too. Oh, okay. So they were chosen not by faith. They were chosen by election, Jewish people. That is all the way through Abraham's seed, promised all the way to the end. So, no, many of them will be part of the kingdom of God, equal to the Christians who came in by faith. Now, they also came in by faith of Abraham, because that was what God promised him. So they're in by election. So God has a lot of surprises that you don't know that will surprise you of how he thought everything out from the beginning. Bereshit. in the very beginning, even before that beginning, there was God. And God already laid Jesus down before there was a world, before there was a foundation to the world. So this God has thought everything out in Genesis so he can complete it in Revelation. And Revelation gives us the last word that there will be a new heaven and a new earth. How many here are prepared for that unseen world of the new heaven and the new earth? How many are ready for that? I am. I'm certainly ready for that. I'm excited about that. But that's future. So it's not going to be today. But you will be perfect at that time because God did it. God does everything for you. And all went to be taxed, everyone, to his own city. So everyone in the world had to go to their own city that was part of the European empire. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, beautiful place, out of the city of Nazareth, which is just to the west of the Galilee, into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Bethlehem, it means house of bread. Because he was of the house and lineage of David. So Jesus is going to be king after David. David was a king, and God had promised in the Old Testament, you will always have a king from here until the end. Well, Jesus is the king forever and ever and ever and ever. So there's always someone on the throne, even though you don't see him, because you don't see everything. He is the kingship never perished. And Jesus scared Herod and Pilate because the people said, this is the Messiah. He's born of David. None of the other kings that you've invented and made up are not right. Herod can't be our king. He's an Idumean. He's from Esau. He can't be the king. And so God has always chosen certain people in the world to work through. When Israel was cursed by Jesus, that curse ended their national, they weren't a nation anymore. 1948 did not reconstitute them as a nation. But someday, but it wasn't 1948, they will be a nation again and ruling the earth again, as Jesus promised in Acts, the first chapter, verse 6. So he promised that I will restore the kingdom. When will you restore the kingdom? As soon as he was raised from the dead. When will you restore the kingdom? It's not for you to know the times or the season, which the Father himself has fixed, and it's way at the end. So Israel will only come in at the end. We Gentiles will be there first, even before the Jews. We'll be there first. And so then we'll all be in heaven waiting for the kingdom then to start, which will start immediately because he's inaugurated. We'll be at their inauguration. Then he comes down, takes care of the beast and false prophet and Satan and so on. Now they're all in their place. And then Satan comes out later. There's a great white throne judgment. Everyone's raised from the dead, from the water, from the sea, from wherever they died. Their molecules have all been reconstituted, and they'll rise some to damnation, some to eternal life. But that is all in God's hands. So this story is the only thing you need to know of all of history. Every other story is about how you got to where you are and what family you came from. But his story is history. His story is his story. History. Because that's the only one that determines your beginning and your ending. That's the only one that makes you have a purpose today to be a son of the living God. And everyone will be a son of the living God. You have to be female or male. You have to be. He who is led by the Spirit are called the sons of God. So you have to be led by the Spirit. You have to be born of the Spirit. Then you have to be filled with the Spirit. Then you have to be led by the Spirit. 1, 2, 3. And so those things take place. But Jesus is the one that started all this in his new creation. Here's how it happened. To be taxed with Mary, verse 5, his espoused wife being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered of her child. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, firstborn is prototokos. Did I explain that already? Did I also explain that? This day or another day? Always forget what I did. Peggy, am I on the right track? Anyway, it means firstborn. That's what it means. Proto, firstborn, TikTok. This wrapping him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there's no room for them in the inn. What it means is there is only room in your heart. That's all. It has to be hidden. It has to be hidden. Everything secret has to remain secret till God's ready to reveal it. So secretly you are now Christians, and we're a big minority in this world, even in America. We're a big minority. So even though there might be a billion people throughout the earth, not all of them probably are true Christians. So we don't know how small it is, but it's small. And he calls it, in other words, this is the Father's flock. I'm a shepherd, I'm keeping the Father's flock, but Jesus is the great shepherd. I'm not. I'm just under him. And so he is now taking care of his Father's flock, those that will finally be made fat, and you don't consume them or eat them up. You actually raise them so that they are healthy and happy. Now, how many of you are healthy and happy? Well, just forget the healthy part. How many of you are happy? Forget the happy. Because if you're a Christian, you have to be happy. Because he said that. If anyone is... a Christian, happy is the man that trusts in the Lord. You have to be happy. So he wants happiness out of you. So let's read this good news here and see whether joy is a part of this story. And there were in the same country shepherds. Now, they have a grim job. In fact, they're the lowest on totem pole. A shepherd is even lower than a house servant. Shepherds have to stay awake all night with their sheep and guard it from, skunks and dogs and lions and bears and whatever they can. They have to, so it's a bad job because you're up all night, it's a night shift. And they wear the same clothes and so on and so forth because they're low on the totem pole. In fact, they can't even come to court and, as a shepherd, speak. Even though God is our shepherd, even though Jesus Christ is the good shepherd, even so, we're his sheep, and he's taking care of us. We're dependent on him to keep his word, to take care of us. And there were in the same country, verse 8, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Wow. Because I don't know, this is I read in a book, and I don't believe it, but I read it in a book, that angels are like 18 feet tall. I read it in a book, so I don't trust it. I don't trust anything you can't prove, and I've never seen one. So I don't know about that. But maybe I have seen one, but I didn't recognize them. They didn't say, I'm an angel or something. So I don't really trust people writing stuff in books about, I went to heaven and the streets are like this. I don't trust those people. Even they might be right. I'm not saying it couldn't happen. I'm just saying I don't trust most of them. There are some miracles in the Bible and so on and so forth. So I don't trust all those books that you can buy in the bookstore about, I was in heaven 7 days, or I saw that the streets were like this and so on. I just don't. I think everything we need is in the Bible. And even if those things were true, let them be known to God or whatever. I wouldn't I wouldn't try to make hay on it. I know there are movies on it now and all that kind of stuff. The angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. But the angel said to them, don't be afraid. Anytime an angel visits you, that's the first word out of their mouth, because they're 18 feet tall, said somebody. And they're scary. And people then think, uh-oh, I'm not ready. And so they usually are thinking of some sin or something that they haven't covered, because they're scared of God. Most people are afraid of God. They have enmity against God. Everybody does. And until you're born again, then you're no longer scared. Fear is gone. Perfect love casts out all fear. All fear. Perfect love. So to be depressed or saddened and so on and so forth is not, it's not, you're in the wrong church or the wrong place. You're listening to something wrong. Because everyone should be happy as a Christian. Happy is the man that trusts in the Lord. I do. So I believe that we should all be happy all the time, right? Well, I'm just saying. I'm not saying people aren't depressed. But pray for them. Deliver them. Get rid of the demons or whatever is conquering them. And we do that. We do that because people are confused and so on. It's because of religion. Religion confuses people because most religions teach that you're not saved by faith. You're saved by works. You have to behave yourself. I don't believe that. There's nothing in the scripture that says that. And anything in the scripture that says that, you misunderstand. You misunderstand. Because the letter of the law, it's just the black letters in the book, the letter of the law killeth. So that can't be right. That can't be right. But the spirit of the law gives life. That could be right. Now, why? Because Jesus died. And he died for all men. So, the letter of the law killeth. He read the letter of the law and came for us because everything that he ever did was for us. It was in our stead. It was on our behalf. He did everything for you. Never did anything for himself. The Father didn't do anything for himself. Everything that God has ever wanted is your happiness, your peace, your safety. All. That's all God has ever thought of. Since he created the world, he hasn't had one other thought except that. And that probably was with him from the beginning. And I'm sure they had a council, and that's how the world was created. Let's make man in our own image. Betzalemnu kedemutnu. In other words, make us in our image according to our likeness. So that's the way God created us. What? To be his stewards. To be his creatures. To be his servants. To be his slaves. To be anyone who does the will of God. But you can't do it because you're not perfect. And God is perfect, and he wants as in heaven, so on earth. As in heaven, so on earth. Well, you can't do it. But Jesus can do it for you, then he can do it in you, and then he can do it through you. So since Jesus does it, and that's exactly what he does, first he forgives your sin, then he cleanses you from all unrighteousness, and then he perfects you in love. All three of those are part of the atoning work of Jesus Christ. And he did the first one when he was here on the cross, Savior. Then he did the second one right now, which is to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. There's still some sin in our church, and that sin has to be removed. So he's getting after anyone who's under pressure or under stress. You should be happy all the time. So that's what preaching does. It keeps reminding you that Jesus is your holiness. He's your righteousness. He's everything God has ever wanted from you. Now you love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength, and you love your neighbor as yourself. All of that's been done by Jesus for you. He did all of that and say, just take it. It's a free gift. It doesn't cost anything. So I don't know. That's joyful. To me, that's joyful, that you don't have to do a thing. Just be yourself. What if you sin? Oh, of course you'll sin. You even sin if I said don't. You will sin. Don't worry about it. God is not worried about that. Jesus already died for that. That's behind the manger there. You can see it's hidden away. But it is right there. Because the manger is just how he was born, but he's the one that wanted to be on that cross so that he could forgive you all your sin. He doesn't want you to have one sin. He doesn't want you to have any sin in your life because he wants you to live with him forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. World without end. There'll be no end to the worlds that are yet in the future. And so, I mean, you don't know about that because he hasn't revealed that. He only revealed what you need to know so that you're not distracted. So when you see it happening, you'll know, oh yeah, that's what he said there. So God has made everything known to you that you need to know. You don't need to know anything more. And so the angel said, don't be afraid because, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. All people. All people. China, India. It's got to be for all people, no matter what their religions, philosophies, ways of looking at life. It doesn't matter. All people. Today, we're all caught up in the world as though man were the measure of all things, but man has never been the measure for anything except sin. Ever since Adam and Eve. I mean, that has been our total deal. So Jesus is the only one that's perfect, and he's the only one that has a relationship with you by faith, and that relationship precedes all performance. Everything you perform after faith is acceptable to God. Everything you perform after faith is acceptable to God as long as it's good. So Christians are not allowed to do bad and say, oh, God will forgive me. Yeah, but you don't sin in order to get forgiven. You sin because you just are ignorant or haven't been well taught or something. But he doesn't want you to do anything after except these things. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-government, self-control, self-restraint. You have to do all of those, and none of those are you. Every one of those is Jesus. Every one of those, they're all supernatural virtues that came from heaven. None of them are on the earth. I can prove to you every one of those words do not have a worldly understanding. For example, God's love is always unconditional. Man's love is always conditional. So, obviously, when God says love, he's not speaking about unconditional love. He's speaking about conditional. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Again, a heavenly understanding. And you can do that with all the fruits of the Spirit. They're all from above. They're just Jesus. Now his cornerstone is in heaven above, and that cornerstone is still operating through your heart, through your heart, through your heart, and so on and so forth. All of us now are manifesting Jesus in whatever we do, and when it's not, then the Holy Spirit will remind you, and you just say, forgive me, thank you for showing me that. Jesus took care of it, so give me the forgiveness that I need, and deliver me from the consequences of that, because that's not good. So the Holy Spirit, the only reason you're baptized in the Holy Spirit is so the Holy Spirit can point out all your sins, because that's his job, because he wrote the Bible to get rid of sin. He wrote the Bible to get rid of sin. That's our only problem on earth. The only problem on earth is not that you were created. It's that you were created in such a way that you needed a relationship with Jesus, which he doesn't come till 4,000 years after creation starts. But the prophecies are given all the way through Scripture, from the beginning of time all the way to the end. All those prophecy will be fulfilled in time. In time. So this is don't be afraid, verse 11, because unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. That is great joy. Tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, not just Jewish people, not just Christian people, everybody. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. So, three things: baby, swaddling clothes, manger. And suddenly, after that, those three conditions, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, this is interesting, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, comma, goodwill toward men. Right there is the whole Ten Commandments. When you get right with God and your enmity is destroyed by God, you didn't destroy it, He destroyed it. Your enmity with God, you have peace with God, not with man. You have peace with God. But then it's comma. This is the latter part of the Ten Commandments. Not just worship, but also loving your neighbor as yourself. Now, you're able to do that. You're able to do that. So, glory to God in the highest. Well, what happened? These angels came, they saw, they heard, and what else did they do? They went home praising God. They went home thanking God. They were so happy because of the joy of Christmas. Everything under the tree at home, everything is free. There's nothing there unlike Santa Claus. Sorry. Little kids here. But anyway. Everything is like Santa. He's always checking a list twice and so on and so forth. That's none of that with God. He reigns on the just and the unjust. He doesn't care whether you're naughty or nice. He doesn't care about anything. He acted unilaterally without your cooperation or anything. Unilaterally to give you free gifts. You know, in heaven, there's no money. You know, love and money is root of all evil. But there's no money at all. Come buy and eat. Because there's no money. Everything is free. No taxes. People are trying to eliminate the IRS or at least put it back in the box, which is constitutional. But in this world, you have to have money to operate and so on, so they need some money. But they're collecting a little bit too much. And people are agonizing over it because we're not positioned to keep our first place. So now the guy in charge is saying they're going to do this and do that. But the truth is, I would not put all your joy in that. I'd put all your joy in the gospel. I'd put all your happiness in the gospel. Because the gospel says, don't worry about it. This world is rigged the way it's rigged on your behalf. Everything is for your happiness. God loves you unconditionally. Will never, ever, ever change His mind on that. He can't. He won't. He hasn't. And He never will. So, thanking God, praising God, those shepherds were so excited about seeing the Christ child, and they're poor. They're ragged clothes. They don't have the nicest clothes on. They're ragged. That's God's way of saying, just relax. He's not interested in your dress. He's not interested that, you know, how you look and what your title is and how high you rank in the social order. He's only interested in one thing, your heart. And those angels spoke those words, glory to God in the highest. That glorifies God. Peace on earth and peace with man. Both. You got the first time. That's the first time we'll see it. So those angels sang that song so that the shepherds could be happy. And they went and saw it. And they said, we saw it. We saw the Christ child. We saw him. And so they were happy. Just as the three kings show up. By the way, they didn't show up until there was a house. They wasn't in a manger. You know that. So that's sometime later. And so they had to calculate when the star appeared for Herod, the king. He had to calculate, and he decided, I'm going to put a few months later just in case, because it took him nine months to get here from the star. And he tried to calculate it, so he figured out 2 years. 2 years. Yeah, 2 years and under. And that's how he did his devastating work. You know what? God not only didn't condemn those children, God has good plans for everybody. I tell you, he knows everything about everything. Always good, always gracious, always kind, always merciful, always everything to make you happy. Can you be happy on earth? Yeah, you can. As a Christian, you'll be persecuted for it, but you can be happy. You know, when you get in an elevator or something like that, hallelujah! You know, if you say that, you'll probably be persecuted. But if you don't say that, or at the drinking fountain, hey, could I pray for you? You know, you might be persecuted for that. But the point is, nobody can really do any harm to you. God has your life in his hands, and no one can snatch him out of his hand. No one. So, you're okay, even if you sin. It's okay, you will. Even if you sin. But when he comes back again, you'll see him as he is. You'll be perfect. Then your joy is full, complete. So, joy to the world, the Lord has come. What? The king has come. He's the king. And then what do? Let every heart prepare him room. That's the room he wants. Let every heart prepare him room. Is your heart ready? Is your heart ready? Everybody needs a heart that makes room for God, and not just room for you. Otherwise, you're ego-centric. You need to be God-centered. So he redoes that. That's the new creation. You have a new heart. Say it. I'm a new creation.
I'm a new creation.
Yeah. You should say that when you bless somebody. Hey, by the way, I'm a new creation. I just wanted to bless you. Because it can you can remember then who you are. You are not you. You are Christ in you, you. You are heaven in you, you. You are God living in you, you. That's the new you. So, let's see. Prayer. Closing prayer. Five o'clock, we'll be here for the candlelight service. Bring kids. They love it. They love to see the candles. It's powerful. All right. God bless.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. Heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing.